All right, on this episode of Bouts Talkin' Bouts, happy to be speaking with an individual. It was quite the intriguing fight going at Bellator 273. It transpires January the 29th. A light heavyweight clash with Sullivan Cawley and Ben Parrish testing skills. And very excited to welcome Big Tuna onto the show. How's your day going so far, man?
Well, Dylan, I've had a terrible day. I've been working my ass off since about 7:30. My partner left last week, or maybe even the week before. He went to the doctor and is diagnosed with COVID, so he's out of work for 2 weeks. And I'm having to do two people's jobs. And then when I do all these media calls, I'm going to go straight to the gym and start training. So I worked 8 hours. Now I'm here and I'm going to do all this and work until about 8 p.m. tonight.
And I would presume that's part of the industrial supply company. Is that right?
Yes, sir. Fastenal Boys in Blue.
Yeah, that's interesting that you're concurrently doing these things. Do you find there's a lot of support from the lads at the job, like checking out the fights and stuff like that? Like, is there a tangible level of excitement for this next one?
Oh, yeah. Like, when I came back to work Monday and went to the maintenance department and all the maintenance men were there, and they saw me come in a day after I won that big fight, they were, like, blown away at the humility, you know? Like, so I got big supporters down there for life, man.
I mean, you talk about them being blown away by the humility. Like, in your own pursuit, do you find that that grounds you at all, just, like, still doing that kind of stuff, or just a necessity more than?
That, it's a necessity and that. Like, I've always worked, man. I've worked my whole life. I worked my butt off since I was, you know, I did cash jobs when I was a teenager, did a lot of landscaping and stuff. Then I went on to working in manufacturing places and all types of job, desk jobs. I've done it all. It's a necessity, and it's just who I am, and it's what required of you. So I don't want no extra awards or a pat on the back for doing what I'm supposed to, taking care of my family, you know, and doing what I'm supposed to while I'm at work. It's like a self-rewarding thing. Like, nobody can ever tell me I didn't work my ass off at the end of the day. So anybody trolling me, none of them, you know, that's why it doesn't faze me, because they weren't there. Ain't never put in no work like I have. I'm going to show you what I've been working on the 29th.
Well, I think your demeanor is what really endears you to a lot of people. And you talk about, like, there being a lot of trolls initially, but I feel like now the sentiment has shifted where people are really getting behind Big Tuna. Have you felt that pronounced sentiment shift as well?
I have. They really do love me now, for the most part. I had a couple trolls pop in the other day, and I almost lived long enough to see myself become the bad guy. This guy was flaming me really bad, calling me fat again, and his girlfriend was easily my size, and I almost mainstreeted him and did it, and I realized that was wrong, so I didn't ever do it. I just let him off the hook. I know that I'm getting older, because I'm letting these guys slide instead of burning their little asses up, but no, man, it's just who I am. Like, I do what I'm supposed to. I'm down to earth. Me talking to you right now is exactly how I would talk to you if you were in front of me right now. And that'd be super nice until you give me a reason not to be, for the most part.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it's all about. And I've seen certain interviews with you, too, where you talk about the trolls and you're kind of just like, ah, whatever. Like, I grew up in, like, the Call of Duty and Halo lobby, so used to the banter.
Yes, nothing can affect me. Like, you want to get me out of pocket, do something to my family or something, but don't be mad when the consequences roll in. You want me to break my persona.
Yeah, I was going to say you might tap into the Big Tuna aspect of the nickname a little bit, eh?
He can come out. I mean, he's been dormant. He only comes out on fight night now, but I went on a date with this girl I really like that I've been seeing, and I guess she is my girlfriend. This guy was just behind her trying to pay his tab, but he got too close to her, and I had the red flash like Tony Montana when he saw that dude talking to his sister. He, like, got too close to her, and I had to put Big Tuna back in the cage real quick, but he can come out. He pops out from time to time. I try to stay out of trouble, man. And be a good example, though. I I'm all the time trying to talk to the younger kids. There's a generation of kids now fascinated with doing drugs for some reason. I'm trying to really, you know, shake those people down where they're not doing that shit. Trying to get them involved in like the sport or something, some kind of outlet. Anyway, we got some stuff going on with some of these foundations. One of my sponsors, the JDF Foundation. Let me go ahead and plug that up there right now. Need that. They're anti-bullying. I want to do something with like a non-profit for underprivileged city kids to come, like, go to like a police athletic league and box or something like that. Even if there's not an instructor, maybe just to go hit the bag or lift weights or jump rope or something, you know, for... I'm going to do something like that, something that matters.
Well, it's cool that you're
retired from the workforce and able to focus wholeheartedly on just MMA across the board, whether it's managing my amateurs and working with the commission or doing stuff like with the anti-bullying and just focusing on fighting, man. I've got to win this fight and put on for my family, man. I've got to. It's in my blood.
Yeah, you talk about the family dynamic, and obviously you seem like a proud father there and everything like that, and I love just seeing the different posts about that. Like, it was kind of funny when you had that, I believe it was a tweet where you were saying, it's funny how pissed my daughter gets losing at Mario Party. So that sounds like a funny time.
Big pissed. I'm not giving them no, like, my dad didn't give me no leeway. Growing up playing games and stuff, dunking on me on the basketball court and stuff, me and my brother. So they ain't getting no free wins. I'll throw a game every once in a while, like one of the team-based mini games, just on Mario Party, just to, you know, hold my other opponents back if she's on my team, or if she's, you know, one of the person I don't want the wins on my team, I'll chuck the game. But besides that, no, I ain't cutting no slack.
No, that's what it's all about, man, and it seems like it's a fun time. But you mentioned a bit ago just helping the different amateurs on their path and everything, and we talked about how in certain ways the job can kind of keep you, I guess, grounded in a certain way. Like, is helping the amateurs kind of undulating with that same kind of idea? Like, does it, like, take you back to the days of, you know, fighting Montreal Grant in your first amateur fight?
In a way, I remember all the things I wish I had when I would started fighting. And I try to be that for them. Yeah, I make sure that they're as prepared as possible or as can be. And most all of them see the what it takes to do it, and they get the I give them the blueprint. They take it and run with it. You know what they do after that is, you know, on fight night it boils down to them. But I don't have any, like, there's nobody in my gym I wonder about being underprepared. Because I'll ride their ass like a surfboard until they're, you know, in shape, or at least that's a big benchmark for me, is like, if you didn't do strength and conditioning and cardio and stuff and you got tired, that's the only thing that you have a say-so over in the fight. If the guy hits you with a jump spin kick to the jugular out of the blue off the cage like Anthony Pettis or something, like, you know, or Sergio Pettis out of nowhere, you know, that's just how it is. But if you gassed out and the guy came out in the second round and just toppled you with a body kick because you were so tired you couldn't stand up, it's totally different.
Yeah, definitely fair for sure. But in talking about this next fight here, I'm kind of curious because, like, I mean, with the Christian Edwards fight, there was a lot of people that saw you as the betting underdog there. And curiously, it seems to be the case going into this Sullivan-Cawley fight. Like, I mean, you're tremendously motivated to perform in general, but does that compound the motivation, like chip on the shoulder kind of thing?
When they put the odds out, my brother sent them to me and he said, just remember, this is just like last time, these people don't think you belong, and I need you, you know, you need to go do what you remember how mad it made you last time, go show them one more time. So this is exactly how I feel. And he's mad props to him, man. Like, he could have took a lot easier route, but he's not, and I know he's tough. And like I said, I'm willing to go to the darkest harbor under the New Jersey Turnpike to get rid of this guy. So, you know.
Yeah, I mean, based on you saying that, I would presume you've seen the pair of fights he's had under the Bellator banner. Like, what are your thoughts on his overall skill set that he's shown? I mean, only can show so much in a couple of fights, but from what you've seen.
He's very athletic and he's got underrated striking, and I think his wrestling is probably a little overrated, but he's still really good. You know, he still wrestled at a university, which we don't have a lot of that here. But in layman's terms, he's going to try to hit me really hard and really fast and try to take me down. That's really all I needed to know.
Yeah, and earlier you were talking about just like your interest in a myriad of different roles in the sport, like even working with different athletic commissions and stuff like that. I think on your Instagram, I saw a photo of you refereeing a CFFC fight. Were my eyes deceiving me, or do you have like a bit of ref experience too in the sport?
Yes, I refed to get to. That's how much I love the sport and how I can't leave it alone is that. When I broke my leg and was going to retire, as soon as I was able to walk again, I said, I got to get back in there or do something somehow or another. I'm going to start reffing because they need good refs that pay attention. So I started reffing on a regional promotion, and then the next thing you know, CFFC's in Tunica, and I ref for them. But reffing is an extreme hassle. They pay you even less than fighters get paid, and you're going to get most of the brunt and backlash for things that go wrong. Yeah. And there's all the losing party is always going to be mad at the ref about something. It took me a while to get used to that. Like I had my old, he's like Master Splinter of MMA for me in Mississippi. His name's Michael Kane. He lives in Oxford. Shout out to Moneymaker Mike. He's like, bro, I've had people throwing beer at me and booing me out of places in Arkansas and, you know, telling me they're going to kill me and all this other stuff for stoppages that, you know, somebody's going to think is bad. So it took me a while to get used to it. I hadn't ref since I had a night like that. This guy jumped guard on a leg lock and got finished. I stopped it. I probably could have talked to him to see if he was okay, but I mean, he wasn't moving really and he was getting hit a lot.
Yeah,
the dude was really picking his shots, hitting him hard, and his head was wedged into the cage floor, so there's nowhere for his head to go. He's just taking these big shots from this wrestler. I finally stopped it, he caught a kick and jumped into a inside or outside heel hook, and the dude was wise to it. So I've never seen a replay. Everybody, including that idiot CM Punk, I'll just call him a loser because that's what he is. Is gonna like say that I need my ref and license took and stuff. Like, notice I've never seen a replay of the fight because he was getting his ass beat. And you know, Punk really can't say anything either. Refing is by far the hardest one, the least amount of pay. Now I don't know, Herzog may make more money than me because he's that good, but I don't know, man. I've done judging. I've done it in Tennessee, Mississippi. I don't think I've ever officiated in Arkansas, but I've been licensed there. I don't know that I've ever been licensed in Alabama either, but I could be. It just, you know, if I can ambassador for any outlet of MMA in any state or branch or any, you know, whatever, I'm going to do it. I'm going to try to bring people in and make them like the sport and let it give them something to do like it did for me.
Got time for one more, Dylan.
Okay, well, to that point, I think the question I'd have to ask was, I saw a tweet you had there early December-ish where you were positing that you wanted to do a Sandman walkout, like walk out through the crowd and everything like that and do the big fire up. Have you reached out to Bellator PR? Have they hit you up on the flip phone? Like, what's the status of the potential Sandman entrance for this one?
Boston Collini, where we at?
Working on it,
okay. I will say, after this fight, I want to go back to San Jose and come out through the crowd like the Sandman. And I don't know, man. I'm really trying to see the most of both coasts. I'd like to go Boston, New York City, any of those places. I don't know what Bellator has even got going on this year. I'd love to go to England or London, the UK in general. Would love to go there. I'll even fight that big dome Dawser Luke. What's his name? Colin. What do they call him? Big ears. He looks kind of like a camel, kind of. I don't know. Anyway, he called me out one time. I don't remember his name. He's a Dolphin, though. And I don't know, man. I can't wait. I can't wait to come out in Phoenix. They just better hope they don't boo me, because I'll turn heel in a heartbeat. I swear to God. I swear to God. I swear I will. You don't want to find out. Luke Tuna doesn't. He sees things in gray.
Talking Lucas Trainer.
What's who?
Lucas Trainer, the UK guy that called you up.
Is that his name?
Yeah.
Let me tell you a funny story about him real quick before I go. I know who he is. I was scrolling a little, but I sent him a message on Christmas and said, Merry Christmas, you dosser. I'll see you soon. And he read it, and he didn't say anything. So he can drop the fake nice guy thing. He didn't even tell me Merry Christmas back after he tried to clout chase me. So, dosser, keep doing the good work over there, though. I like that kid. I like Sullivan Cauley, too, a lot, man. I love seeing these younger guys coming in. I really hope Bellator stops picking up retirement home folks. Not that I don't love them too, and there's a spot for those people. You know what I mean? Like, Machida no doubt deserves to be on the roster, but like, why has he got to be in the top 10 with four straight losses? Can't he just be in the roster and, you know, just be kind of lingering? If he was to get hot again, jump him right back into, you know what I mean? Colin, come on, man. Give me a job with these guys. They need this creative. I can't give it to them from here. I guess I can, but they just kind of – I don't know what else I'm going to have to do to make people start listening to me. Everybody else in the state listens to me now, and their life is that much better. But the rest of the world, I'm still having to get through to them. It's okay.
Well, perhaps that message will resonate January 29th when Sullivan Cauley steps into the cage with Ben Parrish at Bellator 273. Thanks so much for coming on the show, man. It was a lot of fun and just really looking forward to the fight. So thanks so much and have a good rest of your day, too.
Thank you, man. I really appreciate it. I love talking to you. If you ever need anything, if you're ever over here and you need anything from the Crooked Letter State, you just holler at me.